We returned, brothers and sisters, to find David sitting in the gates while his troops went forth to battle and to conquer. We read in chapter 17 of 2 Samuel in verse 27. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobi the son of Nahash of Rabbah of the children of Ammon, and Maacah the son of Amiel of Lodibar, and Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogalim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. They'd come to a city of refuge indeed. Notice a man there who come from Rabbah, the city where David's troops had conquered, while David himself was led astray. A man who had become one of David's servants, and Barzillai to sustain the people that were weary and thirsty in the wilderness. It wasn't just the mighty men that served the Lord in these days. It wasn't just the 600 that went forth to battle, the young and the fit. There was a part for all of them to play. Consider Barzillai and what it says in chapter 19, in verse 32. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. He was 80 years old, a very aged man, yet he had his part to play. He says, I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can my servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? He'd gone past the useful lifetime, so he thought. He was beyond the consideration of his fellows. He considered himself to be a burden, an aged man with little use. Yet what marvellous use the Lord made of this man. For he was the one who was a very great man indeed. For he said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. And where else should those who are in the wilderness go for sustenance from the Lord, but to those who from the experience of years of affliction and suffering for the truth, who through years of experiencing the power of the word of God in their lives, for years of seeing the hand of God at work for them. They are the ones that we should seek out for strength, for wisdom, for the wisdom and experience of living the truth. The young cannot do without them. We may think that we are the ones who go forth to battle. We are the ones who are strong. We are the ones who are mighty. We are the ones who do the work. But in the wilderness, we will find ourselves hungry and weary and thirsty. Then where does the Lord provide for us a place of refreshing? But with the company of our brethren and sisters. In a place of refreshing where we can feed on the knowledge and the kindness and the wisdom of the elders. Something that we young ones should always bear in mind. We do ourselves a disservice to think that those who are older than us have nothing to offer. We cut off from ourselves a source of essential refreshment when we consider their wisdom to be folly and we go our own way in our own counsel. Barzillai was a very great man indeed. And he, though he considered himself to be a burden, played his part. in providing for the king. And in that he did it to one of David's servants, he did it to David himself, as Jesus said of his disciples, "A cup of cold water for one of his children is refreshment to the Lord himself." So both young and old of faithful Israel went with David and received their reward. For when David was to march back in triumph to re-enter the land, the king said unto Barzillai, "Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem." For a little time, Barzillai had fed the anointed of God. He had provided for his followers. And now the blessing that was his was a promise to live with his king, and that his king should feed them. And for us, if we will but eat the bread of affliction, suffering as Christ did, then Christ promises that we will eat with him in his Father's kingdom. But Barzillai, I would not go. Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense me with such a reward? For all he'd done, he did not consider himself worthy of a reward even, and yet he went into the land. He went over the Jordan. He was blessed. Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. But behold, thy servant Kimham, him go over with the Lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. Instead of an old man entering the land, a young, refreshed man went in, a resurrected man perhaps. David had said, "I will lie down in peace," and he slept. Then he says he awakened, for the Lord sustained him, and surely this must be the very thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as he lay down in the dust of the earth and slept the sleep of death, and then could say joyously on that resurrection morning, "I awakened, for the Lord sustained me." Such would be the confidence of this man, Barzillai, not living to others, but living to God, with a confidence that he had played his part in providing for the followers of the king, and that he would go back and rest, but that he would surely see the reward. And so the people were provided for in a city of refuge when they wandered in the wilderness. Psalm 107 speaks of them and of the rest that was promised to them. Psalm 107 reads, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of his enemy." They wandered in the wilderness, in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. They wandered in the wilderness, but their trust won. They had confidence in God, and now David, triumphant, would cross the Jordan at the site where the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, would pass over as the ark of God passed over when the waters of Jordan were divided, would see before him the plains of Jericho where God had worked miracles for Israel, would climb back up the road from Jericho to Jerusalem, where a man fell among thieves going the wrong way, and would climb to the hill of the Lord, to Mount Zion, the city of peace. And there David would enter into peace. The point at which he crossed the Jordan is interesting for us. Verse 15 of chapter 19, 2 Samuel. It was the place where all Israel met David. Verse 15, "So the Lord, the king, returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. The people came to Gilgal. Joshua 5. The scene at the place where the reproach of Israel was rolled away. Joshua 5 and verse 9. When the people had come to this very same spot, and the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day." And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plain of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Their wanderings were over. The manna had stopped, and they ate the corn of the land. They'd reached the promised land, to a spot where God had rolled away their reproach, where they kept the Passover in remembrance of their deliverance from Egypt. And their deliverance was complete. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy, the place where David met his people." And David's reproach was rolled away in the place where his wilderness journey had ceased. It was a place where David would realize, as Israel had done by keeping the Passover, their deliverance. David had come from a place called Mahanaim. The two hosts, where Jacob with his host had seen the host of the Lord. And when Jacob had gone forth, he had the confidence that the angels of heaven were ascending and descending upon him, protecting him, and went forth to battle for him. It was the same confidence that Joshua had when he, at this very spot, looked over Jericho and saw the hurdle that he had overcome, and saw the Lord's host standing above it. The place of two hosts. The providential arm of God had been with David all that time, throughout his wilderness journey. There was nothing left to chance. There was no happening just by chance. David would interpret his life and everything that happened in his life in the knowledge that God was with him, that the Lord Jesus Christ walks between the candlesticks, that the Father and the Son were abiding with him, protecting him, chastening him, strengthening him. And just as Israel had remembered the salvation of God by keeping the Passover when they came into the land, so David, when he had returned to Jerusalem triumphant, is given this psalm, Psalm 18. The introduction of the psalm is the first verse of 2 Samuel 22. A psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and from the hand of Saul. And he said, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." And once again, this miracle of scripture is seen to take effect. The words of David are really the words of his greatest son. The Epistle to the Hebrews tells us so quite plainly. For in chapter 2, describing how that the Lord Jesus Christ necessarily should take upon himself the experiences and sufferings of his servants, and should be made like unto them, born of a woman. So we read, but Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church I will sing praise unto thee. So one Old Testament prophecy is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is one with his brethren, the head of the church. But the next one is from Psalm 18, and again, I will put my trust in him. These then are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shares with his disciples the need to trust in the Father. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Psalm 18 then is not just the psalm of David when he had overcome his enemies, it's the psalm of the Lord Jesus Christ when he enters into his kingdom. And what's more, verse 49 of the psalm, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praise unto thy name, is used by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans in this way. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Psalm 18 then is the psalm of the Lord Jesus Christ, showing how he, like his servants, was made perfect through suffering. How that it was fitting for their captain, for the man who had chased 10,000, how it was befitting him to suffer with them, that he could win many sons, and that we who are Gentiles by birth, citizens of towns like Gath and Ramah, should be brought into the blessings of the Anointed One of Israel. So Psalm 18 says in verse 6, in my distress I called unto the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. And then look what it says. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundation also of the hills moved and was shaken, because he was wroth. There went a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured, coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub, and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters, and thick clouds of the skies. And the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. Now when did that happen in the experience of David? But it was a psalm of David. And David says that all this happened in answer to his prayer. In my distress I called unto the Lord, and God bowed the heavens and came down. Do you see what he's saying, brothers and sisters? Quite clearly, this is Exodus chapter 19, is it not? Yes. David, in his distress, felt himself to be standing at the Mount Sinai. And like Israel of old, God looked down on his affliction. And the language of his salvation is the language of redemption from Egypt. And why? Because that was the foundation of the world, when the principles of eternal salvation, the eternal gospel message, was first preached and demonstrated with power. Exodus 19 is the passage where Psalm 18 is quoting from. Verse 16, when the people had come to the mount, when they were sanctified and washed and clean, And it came to pass on the third day, in the morning, that there were lightnings and thunders and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. They had to go out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up, and God came down in answer to their pleas, in answer and response to their cries of affliction, to the bondage of sin. The Lord came down to make a covenant with them. Deuteronomy 4 once more illustrates to us why this was so important, and why it is at the root of the psalm that was on the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that once and for all the principles of eternal salvation were laid down when God brought Israel out of Egypt with an outstretched arm and gave them his law. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 37. Because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day, and as it was when David returned on that same path that Israel entered into the promised land. David knew where his salvation lay. Know therefore this day, and consider in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments. In chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And truly they had good reason to love the Lord with all their hearts and all their souls and all their might, because he had brought them out with an outstretched arm. And that's why David begins the psalm, having appreciated that God had bowed the heavens and come down for him, that he had stood at the foot of Mount Sinai when the voice of God shook the earth. Therefore he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my deliverer, my God. He was now a faithful of Israel, a type for all faithful, who heard the word of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. These are the principles then laid down for us. For when we come to Mount Zion now, the same principles apply. We see in the Lord Jesus Christ the revelation of the power of God, and his words are the word of God. Should we neglect for just one moment his word? Should we despise just one part of his word? Should we consider it unnecessary daily to feed upon his word? Should we consider it something which is not essential, something which is academic, something which is intellectual, and not consider it to be what it is, the voice of God speaking from heaven? Then we cut ourselves off. We are unholy. We touch the mount and we die. The voice of Scripture is the voice of God, his revelation, the foundation of salvation. But David, from what we've seen so far, was rooted in his understanding in the scriptures which he had, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Judges. David was rooted in these, and so too the Lord Jesus Christ. And so David, in his psalm, says he cried unto the Lord in his distress. Then the earth shook. He rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. And the Lord stooped down to pick David up. Look in verse 35 of the psalm. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. Makes us fear and tremble, brothers and sisters, when we realize what David is saying. The word gentleness there, that quality of the Father, the God of heaven, is the word affliction. Same word that David used when he was in affliction. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me, and thine affliction. The God of heaven was afflicted in David's affliction. Could it possibly be? Isaiah 63 tells us it is so. That God, now through the Lord Jesus Christ, has fellow feeling with his servants. That they have a faithful high priest who was tempted in all points, like as we are, who through suffering was made perfect. Isaiah 63 in verse 9 says, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. In all their affliction he was afflicted. So the Lord Jesus Christ travelled on that journey without the camp to suffer on behalf of each one of us, demonstrating to us the way in which we should live our lives, showing to us the afflictions that we must share with him, and then giving us the hope of the resurrection that he now enjoys. So it is then that Isaiah in chapter 64, conscious of the worthlessness of human nature because of the sin that was part of him, pleased to God as David had done in the wilderness. And Isaiah says, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, that when the melting fire burneth, the fire that causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversary, that the nations may tremble at thy presence when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for. Thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. And so they did, and so David appreciated that they did in his own experience. And though the earth literally shook at Mount Sinai, yet David shook and trembled, because in his affliction he experienced that the heavens bowed and God came down on his behalf. His salvation was precious. It was individual. It was his own treasure. It was his own experience. He was there with Israel at Mount Sinai. He was not alone, though all the men resisted him round about, though he was friendless, though his best friend had turned tail on him and betrayed him to his enemies. David had friends enough and companions enough. He stood with all Israel, with all faithful Israel, at Mount Sinai, in the same way that we now stand with the faithful of those at the foot of Mount Zion. And so the plea of the Old Testament then is that God would once again rend the heavens and come down. And then it says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. And then a verse which tells us that it's already been done. For Paul adds, when he uses that verse, that God has now revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Those things that were kept in store in heaven came down and were revealed for all time in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us, and the power of the highest overshadowed Mary, and the child that she bore was the Son of God. So, brothers and sisters, in our journey, we've travelled from Jerusalem toward the way of the wilderness, across Jordan and out of the land. And that's where we remain at this moment, outside the land. For, says Scripture, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. And if there remaineth a rest, it means that we have not already entered in. But we know that though we sleep like Barzillai, we sleep in the confidence that we shall awake, that we will pass over with David's greater son, that once more the heavens will bow and the Son of God will descend from heaven, and the archangel's trumpet will once again sound forth across the earth, and the dead in Christ shall rise. The salvation which has been shown to us in the affliction of the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed precious. Shall we say then, as we go on our journey, but whether in life or in death, wheresoever my Lord is, there will thy servant be. And then we shall say, when we awake and when we see the Lord Jesus Christ in person and realize the wonder of his salvation that has been worked out for us and the joy of fellowship with him, therefore I will love thee, O Lord.